Hey there, it's Bob Patterson with Street Photography Magazine, and I'm back once again with another featured photographer interview for this issue. This month we have another Londoner, and why not? London is a tremendous place to shoot on the streets. So I was pleased to have an opportunity to speak with Nicholas Gooden, and he goes by Nico, who's an urban photographer from London. Now, Nico was born in London, but he was raised in France, and he returned to the city in 1999, and he's been there ever since. Like most street photographers, Nico's work is very realistic, but he also has a surrealistic side. He's taken many of his street photos and created compositions, composites. I'm not quite sure how he did it, but it's very unique and very interesting, and it's depicting London in the future. I recommend you look at this when you visit his website. Nico likes to travel light on the streets like many of us do, and as a result, he's adopted the Olympus OMD Micro Four Thirds system. The reason I mention this is because he likes the system so much, Olympus has named him as an official Olympus ambassador. But beyond photography, Nico has become very adept at mastering social media, and he uses it to connect with other photographers around the world, as well as to promote his work. So during the interview, Nico shares with us some valuable tips about how we can use social networks to promote ourselves and to promote our own work. As a result of this networking, Nico has been featured in magazines, newspapers, blogs, and he's even had a couple of gallery showings of his own in London. So to learn more about him and about his work, have a listen to my interview with London street photographer Nico Gooden. Today I'm with Nico Gooden, and he's a photographer in the UK, an urban photographer. He was born in the UK, in England, but he actually grew up in France. His mother is from England, his father is French, and grew up in France, came back to the UK in 1999, and he's always been a very creative person. He loves to cook. I'd love to learn more about that. That's his passion. He was a DJ for 10 years, and he has some average drawing skills, which I guess is not a surprise for somebody who's such an accomplished photographer, and even does some sculpture. And most recently, he's been doing photography with a focus on London. And he has an obsession with detail, with composition. So I'd love to hear more about that. So welcome, Nico. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Let's start out a little bit. I'd like to know a little bit about your background and how you got interested in photography and what you're doing with it now.
Yeah, so my background, as you said, I grew up in France, and my professional background is hospitality. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a chef, so I went to a hotel and catering school, and I trained as a chef from the age of 14. I eventually realized that being a chef wasn't really what I wanted. I loved food, but I didn't want to have the army style of a kitchen. So I moved on to hotel management. And I've worked in hotels, in some really good hotels, worked for Intercontinental and some other big brands. And I'm still sort of working in hospitality. At the moment, I'm sales and marketing manager for a service department company based in Kensington in London. So instead of staying in a hotel, our clients stay in an apartment for one day, one week, one month. But they have more space than a hotel room. So that's basically my background. And I got into photography in 2008, I would say, more seriously. I always loved photography, but in 2008, you know, with digital cameras, it became easier to actually make it a hobby. It's not something that I could have done before. I think I couldn't afford photography, having to develop negatives, etc. But as soon as digital cameras came, I thought it was a good thing to take on. And gradually, you know, I got into improving my photography, getting a better camera, and improving it even more, and etc.
So what draws you to street photography?
Street photography is really just a part of what I do. My main focus is London, but of course street photography is something I have to focus on as well. I started more with sort of landscape photography, urban landscape photography, and graffiti photography. I've always had a big passion for graffiti, spray paint, and street art. So I was shooting all these sort of concrete walls that were painted, and gradually my view sort of, you know, I moved a bit back, and the focus was less on the graffiti and more on what's going on around, and that's how I got more into street photography.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I noticed you had some photographs of some graffiti on your website. Not to get off track too much, do you follow a Baryonyx Perrello? He does the Candid Frame podcast.
No, I don't.
It's fabulous podcast. I think he's one of the best interviewers in American media. Just an excellent podcast on photography. He's a street photographer himself, but his brother, they come from New York City. His brother was a graffiti artist in New York.
Okay.
And he's since become very famous. He now lives in Paris, and he's a very accomplished artist in France, all from doing graffiti work, you know, on the sides of trains and things in New York.
Yeah, that's where it all started. I guess they, you know, they all aspire to do the same. But I'm no expert. You know, I would say I'm no expert in graffiti. I just like to see gray walls turned into something a bit more colorful.
Yeah, you know, I never thought of it as art until I heard that podcast. It's very interesting. You know, he recorded it just maybe about a month or so ago.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, you definitely should. Let me ask you this. One of your passions is food, is cooking, and you were aspiring to be a chef. So how does your experience as a cook relate to being a photographer?
There are similarities. It's not something that I think about daily, but if I was to look into it, yeah, there are a lot of similarities. You know, you're making sure you get all the ingredients right, that you master your technique, and that the final product, instead of being on a plate, you know, the final product, the photo, has a good composition, something that you can show to people instead of, you know, delivering into the restaurant, something you can show to people. So, you know, instead of bringing a plate that's got a good dish, well-served, well-prepared, with good technique, you're bringing a photo with, you know, the right composition, the good technique, etc.
So when you're photographing on the streets, what type of subjects do you typically look for?
I think as a street photographer, you know, a lot of street photographers really focus on the people.
Mm-hmm.
I try and make it that the people are just one of the things in the photo. I don't want to focus too much on people. I don't want to be too much in people's face. So I'll generally look for an interesting background. I'll very often just sit as soon as I found an interesting background, just sit and wait for the right thing to happen. It can take minutes. It can take up to an hour. I usually lose patience after an hour. Sometimes much before. What I like a lot is movement. So I try and make sure my shutter speed is at the right speed, that I can freeze the background. But whoever is passing by that interesting background is sort of blurred. I enjoy that.
Yeah, I've noticed you do a lot of that. And that's hard to do. So I wonder if you could share some of your techniques, or what have you learned from that you could share with others?
I think at first I used to use a tripod, but you know, carrying around a tripod is really not ideal, especially if you want a good tripod. It's got to be a bit heavy, and I just got very, very quickly fed up with that. So you've got to learn to hold your camera properly. There are different techniques, you know, bringing your elbows and arms towards your body. Using something to rest against, like a wall or something. So you just got to make sure you keep your camera very still and find the exact right shutter speed. So that's just by trial and error. I'm not yet, I guess, that good that I can just straight away guess what's going to be the right shutter speed. So I just, you know, I try. And if I get a blurred background, it's probably too slow. So I'll increase the shutter speed, but not to a point where it freezes the movement of the person going by. So it's just a lot of trial and error. For a good shot, you know, I'll sometimes take 100 photos or maybe even more.
Yeah, you have to be patient.
Which is going back to why it's a lot better with digital cameras, because we can afford taking 100 photos to get a good shot.
No, you can't. And then you don't know for several days, so.
You can take 100 shots with film cameras, but it's just, I think I'd be a lot more frustrated if I did.
Yeah, some people I know who came out of the film world are, I guess you say, they're a lot more conservative. I think they do a better job of making sure they have the shot before they take it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It trains you to perfect your technique, to not waste, to get things right straight away. And it's very good training. Sadly, I haven't had that training, so, you know.
That's okay. Your work is excellent.
Thank you.
So who are your biggest inspirations in the world of photography?
Well, I would say that I get a lot of inspiration. Well, at least I would say I admire a lot people that do things that are quite different from what I do. If I had a choice, if I had total freedom, if I had money, I would be probably a nature landscape photographer. I would be out in the wild. I wouldn't be locked in a city.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think, you know, I really particularly like the work. I've always loved the work of Ansel Adams and also of Sebastião Salgado. So both, in a way, I think the work is very similar when you look at their landscapes, their nature landscapes. Black and white, huge, that just, you know, makes your jaw drop. So that's the kind of stuff I admire. In terms of inspiration, I try not to look. It's maybe considered by some like a mistake, but I'm scared of losing my own style. I'm scared of just repeating what others do, which I probably am doing already. But I think I'm trying to keep my inspiration. So I try not to look too much at other people's work. My biggest inspiration is my mood, really. You know, if I'm happy, I'll probably be shooting something colorful and happy. If I'm not so happy, then it'll reflect in my work. It'll probably be a little bit darker. There's quite a bit of my work that's got a little bit of a dark, dramatic edge.
Speaking of that, let's talk about one of your photos.
Uh-huh.
It's funny because you gave me a list of ones to talk about, and every one that you listed were ones that I wanted to talk about. And this one is the Battersea Power Station.
Okay.
When you talk about moody and dark, and maybe even had some influence from Ansel Adams. Can you tell us a little bit about this? It looks like from the write-up on your website, you've reworked this several times.
Yeah, there has been quite a bit of editing going on. I shot that quite a few years back, actually. It's quite an old image. I think I shot it right at the beginning when I started shooting in 2008 or 2009. And Battersea Power Station is an iconic building in London. It's the same person who designed Battersea Power Station designed the red telephone box. Very different kind of work, but in a way, very Art Deco. It was built in the late 30s, if I'm right. So, you know, very sort of 30s architecture. And it's just imposing. It's, you know, some people call it the brick cathedral, I think. And it's pretty much that. You know, you get, some people have the chance to just get, you know, walk at its feet. And it's just huge. It's just massive. And it's got this feel. Each time I go there, I just feel very particular, and I wanted to sort of represent the feel, and that's what I did through the photo. It's quite menacing. It's quite dark, and it's an abandoned building. So there's something a bit sad about it as well. So
yeah, I like your black and white treatment. And is this something that's evolved over time, or is this just came to mind just because of the clouds? You got those heavy clouds and.
I think the treatment was kind of inspired by some more work I've been doing, which is infrared photography. I do quite a bit of it. And when you do infrared photography, I'm not going to go through the details, but infrared just filters a certain spectrum of light, or I'm not too sure even how to explain it. But anyway, it turns the sky, the blue sky, black or very dark, and water as well, very dark, which is also ideal if you want to create something quite dramatic. So that wasn't an infrared shot, but I wanted to give that kind of feel with the sky really dark and the clouds really standing out.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Let's talk about another one since we're on the subject. This one's Anatomica, and I think you won an award for this.
Yeah. So that photo is one that's quite important for me because it's the first photo that I ever exhibited. And that was back in 2011, at the end of 2011. So really not that long ago, 2 years ago. And it's a composite, or excuse my pronunciation, sometimes I say English words in a funny way, but it's a composite image, as in, you know, it's highly processed, if you want. It's a mix of a few different photos layered in Photoshop. I think this one as well is a little bit dark, a little bit sad. It's got a model, a mannequin from the Natural History Museum, actually. And she's got a hole on the side of her head. And her front is actually transparent, and you see the organs. And I superimposed this on a wall which had loads of posters. But you know, one of those walls in the streets where the posters have been ripped and all that. So superimposed those and gave it a little bit of more treatment, which I won't go too much in detail. But yeah, I just think the final result, I just thought this mannequin was beautiful. It had this sadness, this quite a beautiful face. And
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, when I looked at this, I thought it was a mannequin in a shop window.
Ah.
But now I can see.
Yeah, because the front, although I said it's transparent and you see the organs, it's not obvious. It almost looks like a dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now I see that's a stomach.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, hey, let me ask you this. You were, I see that you're involved with Olympus and you've been doing some things with them. Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely, yeah. I've been very fortunate that Olympus is supporting me a lot. It all started because I bought a my current camera is an OMD EM5, sort of their top of the range Micro Four Third camera, mirrorless camera, and I've had it for a year or a little bit more than a year, and I use Twitter a lot, which we can go more in details later. But Twitter, I contacted Olympus, and I kept, you know, showing them or sending them links to my website on photos that I shot with their camera, etc. And we just developed that relationship over about a year, the year that I've had the camera. And back in June, I had an exhibition, and I just tweeted to Olympus, you know, I'm, you know, looking for people to sponsor me or to at least talk about the show. And Olympus said that they would sponsor my show. So that was very exciting, and they paid for a big part of the show, and they allowed me to put their logo everywhere, which is, you know, is good for them as well. But I think at my level, it was very good for me, and that allowed me to also get more sponsors. But I'll get into more details about this. But so yeah, got a great relationship with them, and they recently launched a better camera than the one I have, sadly, which I will probably get one day, but I don't have yet. The OMD EM1, which is now the new flagship camera from Olympus. And for the launch of it last month, they had a group show, and 10 Olympus ambassadors were asked to each show one photo shot with their camera. So I was one of them, and I exhibited one of my photos, another photo of Battersea Power Station. And they are going to have, I think, another event possibly next month, but that's not yet confirmed, and I should be in there as well. So yeah, great relationship with these guys.
You know what they say, the best camera in the world is the one that was released right after you bought your current camera.
Of course, it's typical. It's typical, I tell you. But, you know, I think we all need to slow down things a bit. Everyone's a bit too obsessed with, oh, I need to get a new camera, I need to get a new camera. When I started, I had a new camera every year. Mm-hmm. And, well, it's not the top of the range. I mean, it's not by far the sort of camera you pay you know, thousands for. But I absolutely love it, and I've mastered it, and I'm happy with it. So I think I'll be with it for quite some time.
Every time I buy one, I think this is it. This is what I need.
Yeah,
I just bought an OMD. I haven't used it much.
Oh, when did you buy it?
About a month ago. I bought it used. Still have the kit lens. My plan was to actually start to sell off my DSLR equipment and just go Micro Four Thirds, but
yeah.
I didn't do it yet. But it's really a very nice camera. Yeah, you know, I think Olympus has done a really good job reaching out to a lot of photographers. They're getting a lot of chatter in the blogs and podcasts, and I think you're just another example of that.
These guys, they surprise me all the time. How it literally feels for me like a little family. They're always replying to my tweets. They're always retweeting. If I send them an email, they're fine with it. They really have it right. They support people that are upcoming, you know, not just the people that have made it already. And they've made me an Olympus fan. I'm not going back to other brands who, well, you know, understandably maybe are too busy, etc. But you know, I found a brand that communicates with me and that supports me and that promotes me and has done me a world of good. I think most of the opportunities I've had this year wouldn't have happened if I didn't start by having the support from Olympus.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Speaking of communications, you are a very prolific user of social media. And I even read where you work on it daily.
Yeah.
And I just wonder, do you have a process or a routine that you follow on a regular basis? Because I think using social media is like anything else. If you do it consistently, you're going to have success. And you've obviously had a lot of success. So.
Yeah, it's. I think that it is a major, major part of the opportunities I've had this year, opportunities I've had in general with photography. I can't imagine what I would do without social media. I mean, you can have as good photos as you want. If people don't see them, it's no good.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've got a website, which is important. I think everyone needs to have somewhere to display their work. It doesn't need to be a website. It could be 500 pics or whatever. But I have started by growing a following, and not just any following, although we're lucky with photography that pretty much everyone likes photography. So it's not as crucial to, you know, if I was selling stilettos to only target women who like stilettos. The good thing with photography is that I can target most people, they like photography. But I really try and focus on targeting and following people that follow camera brands, that follow photographic galleries, that follow all sorts of things that are related to what I do, or people that follow that are based in London, except can actually be interested in what I do, what I have to say. And, you know, once you build your following in the thousands, you start having people listening. But it's no point having people listening if you don't listen to them as well, if you don't engage with people. And I think that's the big mistake that a lot of companies do, etc., is that they think that, you know, they can just be on social media, have thousands of followers, and just sell, sell, sell. And I did the mistake at first. At first, I was just posting links to my website daily, and that's all I was doing. And people get fed up with that. And I was told by a few people that they got fed up with that.
So you know? Listened.
So I listened. And so I changed my strategy, if you want, although, you know, it's not such a thing, but it's just by listening to people, I decided that I wanted more to be sort of a source of information about the things I love, because there's many chances that other people are interested in the same things. So now I post articles that I find about photography. I post articles about what's going on in London, things that, you know, relate to what I do. And maybe 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, I'll post a link to my website. But people aren't on social media to be sold stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, you know, the surprise is that by doing so, by just posting articles, retweeting what people tweet about on photography, etc., just by being a source of information, well, I'm still seeing loads of people visiting my website through Twitter. So people see that you've got something to say, that you're passionate, etc., and they think naturally, well, let's go and check this guy's website. So you don't need to stuff it down their throats.
So I guess basically what you're telling me is you care about other people and you show that you care, and then in turn they reciprocate.
Yeah, and also I know how I feel if I am to engage with a company and they don't reply. I mean, it's very rare that people are so busy that they can't reply, even if it's just to say thanks. So I try. I'm not perfect. I sometimes miss, but I try and just reply to everyone who has a question or says they like my work, etc. Because if they make the effort to do it, then I should as well. And it's social media karma, I call it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you treat people the way you'd like to be treated, then good things will happen.
So where do you find the time? I mean, are you very very disciplined in how you go about this? I mean, you get up in the morning and do certain things and then do other things in the evening?
Yeah, I wake up in the morning straight away. I go on Flipboard, you know, the app. I try and find some articles about photography I like, tweet a few while I'm still in bed. Then on my way to work, you know, I take the tube. I've got 40 minutes in the tube doing nothing, so I might as well. So again, you know, try and find articles. Then I get to work, you know, do my job. Lunchtime, I'll go on to, I'll do lists of people that, for example, support me, people that I would like if they could support me, etc. And I go on to their things and I retweet and I do it regularly. Even if they don't straight away reply, I'll do it for a month. And after a while, they'll take notice. Then I come back in the evening, take the tube again, and I'll do it again. So yeah, it's a lot of work. I probably spend 2 hours a day on social media. So it's a big part. So it's not just all about photography. Sometimes I even forget I'm a photographer and I've got to go back to taking photos.
So you're using Twitter a lot. What else? Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Facebook is also very good. I've got a good following on it. I'd say I use it in a very similar way as Twitter. Again, Facebook, I try not to sell too much. Facebook is a bit better in terms of making people feel closer to you. So when on Twitter, I'll post lots of articles and I'll retweet lots, etc. On Facebook, be a bit more personal and I'll inform people a lot more about what's going on with me.
Is this a personal page on Facebook or is this a fan page?
It's a fan page.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fan page. So I think, you know, because it's a fan page, I think people that are following me that have liked my page are more likely to want to hear a little bit more about me than on Twitter, you know?
What about Google Plus? I mean, a lot of photographers have moved to Google Plus. You're using that?
I still don't get it, to be honest with you.
Really? Okay.
I really don't get it. No, I don't get it. But, you know, it's sometimes you get onto things a bit late. And you need someone to show you, so I'll probably catch up at some point. It's also because of a question of time. I need to be very selective what I use. You know, I don't use Instagram. I use just Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest.
How do you use Pinterest?
Well, Pinterest is quite addictive, actually. I only got on it a couple of months ago, well, about a year ago, but I never did anything about it. And then I go back to it 2 months ago, and well, I just make boards of things I like, really. But of course, same strategy as Twitter. If I do a board about East London, I have loads of photos of East London from people, you know, from different people. Once in a while, I'll slip a photo of mine. But I don't do a board that is, well, I have one board about my photography, but generally, I repin mostly people's work. But once in a while, I'll slip one of my photos. So a board of East London or a board of urban landscapes or a board of people doing something special. I don't know. I've got a food board where I put all the things I'd like to eat.
I'm a big geek myself. And I used to think all photographers were geeks. And the more I get into this, the more I realize a lot of photographers aren't.
Yeah.
And I think some people are either they don't have the time or they're afraid to put themselves out there.
Yeah.
And use these tools. And I was wondering, what advice could you give somebody who's interested in making better use of social media? What one or two things could you advise them to do to get started?
Don't think you can do too much. There's no point with social media to start something if it's not to keep it going. It's one of the biggest traps is actually to start something, like, for example, a blog, and end up never updating it, because then you're making it public that you can't keep something serious going. So just select what works for you. Try and do a little bit of research and then start with just one. You know, for example, Twitter, for example, Facebook. But don't take too much at once because it's a lot of work. And once you've got too many of those going, well, you might end up doing nothing.
Yeah, I think that's so common, myself included.
Oh, yeah. I've done the mistake as well to have a blog and not updating it enough, etc. So, yeah.
Nobody goes when it's full of cobwebs.
Yeah.
So I do notice, yeah, you're very active in your blog, and you do give back a lot. One post you wrote that I really liked was one about how you retouched a photo of your grandfather.
Ah, thank you.
And yeah, it was excellent. And I think that's something anybody could use. And I imagine you got a lot of traffic out of that.
Mm. Yeah, I think also the fact that it was something personal, something... I think people are always a lot more interested in hearing something that's close to your heart, you know, or that makes them understand a bit more who you are, you know. Just like, you know, having a photo of you on your website is always better than keeping it anonymous.
Yeah, that's true. When you wrote that post, was that a huge project? Did that take you days and days to write?
It's funny because no, it didn't. I did the retouching in one morning, and it was the first ever retouching I did. My big advice for people is if you want to do something, Google it, you know, just check it out, because things are a lot easier than you think. I always had in my mind, and you know, that's the biggest barrier in life is what you put in your mind. And I always had in my mind that it was, you know, it was a professional job to retouch a photo, to colorize a photo, that it, you know, that it took years of practice. Well, one morning I just woke up and I had a black and white photo of my granddad, and I Googled how do you, you know, clean up a photo, retouch it and colorize it. And I, by lunchtime, I was done. And I wrote the blog post in the afternoon.
Yeah, I think it goes easier when it's something you're really interested in.
Yeah, I'm a bit obsessive. I mean, a few people who know me know that, you know, once I've got an idea in my mind, it's, you know, it doesn't go until I'm done with it. And, you know, it's great because it's a drive.
Yeah, well, it shows in your work. Speaking of your work, let's go back to one of your other photos. This is another one that caught my eye. The Odd Couple.
Mm-hmm.
Photo of two elderly people sitting outside outside their apartment.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about this one.
Well, that was a pure moment of luck. You know, these moments where you're just there with your camera and you think, this is just too good. This cannot be true. And I was just walking one day, as I usually do on weekends, trying to find a photo opportunity. I was walking in an area that really, really shouldn't have had anything good to shoot. And it was a sunny day, and I walked by this old couple's garden, and I saw them, and I just kept walking, and I thought, nah, this is just too good. So I went back, and I stopped in front of them, and I asked them, but before I asked them, I had already shot the photo, and I asked them, you know, do you mind if I take a photo of you? And they were okay with it, but I'm glad that I took the photo before, because there was the element of surprise. There was no pausing, smiling, or etc. And they just look fabulous. They're, you know, I couldn't have composed that myself. I couldn't have, you know, no one could have directed that. It's just they are perfectly symmetrical. Everything is, they both have their cup of coffee almost placed at the same place. They are both facing the road with the same facial expression. I don't know. I think it shows a lot of love, but they look miserable. But you know, it could be love.
Really, I don't think they look miserable.
I don't know. Each time I look at it, the more I look at it, the more it changes what I think about this photo. But
Imagine when they knew you took the photo, they were probably smiling or posing.
Yeah, exactly. So that wouldn't have made it so nice. So.
Yeah, you bring up an excellent point. You said you're in an area where there shouldn't have been anything to shoot.
Yeah.
And what do you do in situations like that? I know personally, I go out and I just don't see anything.
Yeah.
It's probably between my ears, I'm sure.
There's a lot of times where I try and go to new places, and it's most of these times I come back home with nothing. A lot of frustration. You know, you can't just make something appear in front of you, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. I think recently I got a bit too frustrated of these, you know, occurrences. So I tend to now know the places I go to that are just like gold mines. There's a few places like that in London where I know each time I go, I bring back something good, because, I mean, this shot of the old couple is one great shot, and I'm glad I went there, but, you know. Most of the times you go to places like that and, yeah, you do bring nothing. It's frustrating.
And I think when we go through places where we've been so many times, we tend to overlook things just because it's so familiar.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something I'm searching for myself, just to learn ways to be able to see things in very familiar circumstances, because I know they're there. If you came to my city, you may see things I walk past every day and go, wow, look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's nothing more exciting than to go into some place you've never been before. And yeah, I'm sure I'd love your city.
Parts of it, I think you would.
Yeah.
Parts of it, you won't.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you're stuck in a place for too long, yeah, it becomes difficult to see things, which is why I'm very lucky to live in London, because London seems to always produce new opportunities. It's a never-ending... It's a gold mine.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It's a wonderful place, just like New York City. You know, I hear from a lot of photographers, and a lot of people are in small towns or they're in suburbs, and they struggle because they don't have as much subject matter to work with, or they don't feel that they do. And as an editor, I'm always looking for ways to, you know, to help those people.
I think it's more in the mind, definitely. I think the opportunities are there, wherever you are. But if you grew up with it, or if you spend too much time with it, you just don't see it. But there are, you know, I grew up in a village which had 80 people living.
Wow.
That village until the age of 14. So, you know, luckily I didn't take, I'd say in a way, luckily I didn't take photography at that time. But now I regret it, because there was all these old people that were nearly 100 years old, and they still work in their garden and all that. And I'm sure they would have loved me to do some kind of project where I shot, you know, every single person in the village, and I could have made a book about life in the village and et cetera. There's always something to do, and these people had so much character.
Yeah, absolutely. Probably takes somebody from outside to see it.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's look at one more photo here. We've got a few minutes left. Walk the line, and this is, you were talking about this earlier, how you like to stay in one place and capture motion. I think this is a perfect example of that.
Thank you. Yeah, this is exactly an example, as I was mentioning earlier, that, you know, I've noticed that background for a while. I actually saw someone's image, someone's photo, who had shot that background, but in a very different way. And I always wanted to shoot it. So one day I went there, and I just waited. And I shot quite a few images. And I had different people, not necessarily the right one. And this guy just passed. He had the right color jacket. He was in the right place in the shot, in terms of you know, the rule of thirds, etc. In that photo is like pushed to the maximum. It's the guy is on the, you know, the second third, the lines themselves. I think everything, and it's really composition in an obsessive way.
Do you crop much, or did you do this in camera?
I used to crop a lot more, you know. When I first started shooting, I never cropped, because I thought, no way, you cannot crop. You've got an 8 megapixel camera. You cannot make it a 7 megapixel photo. And then I started cropping a bit, and maybe a bit too much. But now recently I've managed to do very, very minimal amount of cropping. I'm just shaving a few millimeters off, just to maybe sometimes straighten a little bit. I do a lot less cropping, but there's nothing wrong with cropping, I think.
No, I agree. I couldn't live without it.
Yeah, no, it's nothing wrong. You know, it's at the end of the day, you know, if you were working with an analog camera and printing your photos, you might, you know, just cut them.
I know. On the street, I use a Fuji X100, which is a fixed lens, so.
It's a lovely camera.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful. I love it. And,
I've not tried it, but it looks very sexy.
It is. Yes, it is. It's very retro. But since it's a, you know, it's a fixed lens, sometimes I have to crop.
Absolutely.
Or I have to run in the middle of the street in traffic to crop with my feet or zoom with my feet. But sometimes you can't do that. Yeah, I'm looking at your website, and you're a very active guy. You've got a list on your news section of all these things you're involved in. I see you've done a lot of interviews, and you've published in Olympus Magazine, or you've got something coming up. And there's a couple things. You've got an interview on Hoxton Radio.
So, yeah, I'm on the radio. Hoxton Radio is a local radio, but it's a pretty big local radio in East London. And so Hoxton is an area of East London. I don't know if you're familiar, but it's also linked to Shoreditch. So these two areas in East London are very, 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 very cool places. They're interviewing me. They've got a big following on Twitter as well. Great exposure.
And is this all due to your activity in social media?
Yeah, everything is. I mean, it's not like these people have come towards me. You know, I do a lot of work in going towards people. One thing I've learned this year, or in the last few years, is if you don't ask, you don't get.
Absolutely.
I know it's very easy to say and just throw clever things like that. It's not that clever, really. But the truth is, you know, just ask people, because you'll be surprised with the reply. I think this year everything has sort of snowballed from June, when I had the exhibition with Olympus. You know, you start having one big name sponsoring you, supporting you. Then you can tell people, well, you know, these guys are supporting me. Would you like to hear a bit more about me? And people are a lot more receptive. And then you get another one on board, and then you get another one on board. So the most difficult, really, is to get your first break, to get one. So it's like a ladder, you know, you get someone at a sort of lower level, then someone at a bit higher level next time, and then etc. So you build up names that support you, that are interested in you, and you tell the next people about these people, and eventually things snowball and it goes exponentially. And at the moment, it's going great, because I've got all these great people that are happy to help me, and it helps me to get the next ones.
Well, that's true, because that's how we connected. You reached out to us, and I saw your work, and as soon as I saw it, I said, this is a guy we have to talk to. And otherwise, may have found it, but maybe not. But like you say, you don't ask, you don't get.
Yeah, don't wait for people to find you, because you know, there's a lot of talented people out there. So.
Oh, absolutely. We just have a wealth of excellent photographers in this world, and now we're all connected. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us, where can people find you? People are going to listen to this interview, and they're going to want to know more about you, how they can find your work. So if you could just tell us where you can be reached. I know you're active on Twitter, so
yeah.
You know, what's your Twitter handle, your website?
Yeah, so the best is to, the best is to either follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, because I post anything relevant, any new update on there. So my Twitter handle is Nicholas Gooden, which is NicholasGooden. And my Facebook page is Nicholas Gooden Photography. And my website, NicholasGoodenPhotography.co.uk. That's the best way to find me. Anyone who contacts me normally gets a reply. Twitter's a little bit difficult sometimes, but anyone who sends me an email on my contact form on my website definitely gets a reply. So I'd love to hear from people.
And what do you have coming up that people may want to see?
Yeah, so the Hoxton Radio thing is actually going to be available online, and it's hoxtonradio.com. But after that, I've got some other things going on. I'm trying not to have another solo exhibition for a while, because I don't want it to become something that just happens too often. I think people need to be surprised by a new body of work. Mm-hmm. And I need to just focus on actually taking photos, you know. So I've got a show next summer, which looks like it's going to be a 3-month show.
Oh, wonderful.
Very exciting. Not confirmed. I can't throw the name yet, but it's going to be most likely in a top London hotel. So that's very exciting. And November, Olympus magazine will have a feature, a write-up from me, and that is going to be on how to exhibit your work for free. Just tips on, you know, how I've done it, because what I try to do is to never pay to exhibit my work. I think people shouldn't have to pay to exhibit their work. So there'll be tips in Olympus magazine in November. And there's, just bits and pieces. I think the best is just to like my Facebook page, because that's where the news is most updated and most available.
That's wonderful. You've got a lot going on. I'm glad to see things coming together for you, because you really deserve
it. Thank you very much. I'm very humbled by things happening. it's lovely to have people, you know, liking your work.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, Nico. Great to have you here today, and look forward to seeing more of your work. And as we see things come up, I'll make sure it's posted on our website as well.
That's
followers will see it. All right.
I really enjoyed the interview. Thank you very much, Bob. I look forward to keeping in touch with you. And if anyone's got any questions or needs any tips, then get in touch.
Well, definitely we will do. Thank you.